Well, hey, everybody, you've joined me, Kevin Stevenson, on I Don't Care with, sure, me, Kevin Stevenson. You know the drill. You've watched enough of these. You know, I was just counting up the past episodes, and I, over the last 5 years, I've done over 150 of these. So, number one, thank you for putting up with me for all that time. Those of you who have listened more than two or three, I'm greatly in your debt for that. So thanks so much. So today's guest, and be gentle, he's a first-time podcast guest. So, you know, don't, you know, cut him some slack. Be gentle with him. Scott Finkelmeyer. Scott is the owner of Key Imaging Partners, LLC. Got to throw that in there. So, Scott, welcome to I Don't Care.
Oh, Kevin, great to be here. And I can't wait for someone to ask, what's the name of the first podcast I was on? Because I'll say, I don't care.
I don't care. Perfect. Yeah, I love that. Well, Scott, tell my audience a little bit about you. You know, you've been in the imaging field for 25 plus years. You know, talk a little bit about that, then how you came to Key Imaging Partners, and what's the point of that?
Good stuff. Well, it's great to be here with you and your audience. I was born and raised in Waukesha, Wisconsin, so a medium-sized suburb west of Milwaukee, and then went to school, University of Wisconsin, Madison, studied business
there. Oh, you're a Badger. Oh, my God. Yeah,
we're not going to talk about that in the next 25 minutes because the weekend was a bit of a bloodbath. But
sorry for your loss. Yeah, I know. Sure. Sorry. Go ahead.
But basketball season's upon us, so we're
excited. That's right. We start tonight. The Bears play Gonzaga tonight at 10:30 Central. Whoever thought of that? Anyway, sorry to interrupt again.
All good. So, yeah, spent years going to college there in Madison, which was great. And then started with Siemens Medical Solutions back in 1999. So I was an account executive, a little bit of time in Texas. And then I spent most of the 15 years I worked for Siemens in Arizona. So I was always responsible for a patch of dirt in the Grand Canyon state. And you had to sell around $15 million of this high-end technology each year. So CT scanners and sure. MRI scanners, x-ray rooms, cath labs, all that stuff. And then in 2015, I had an opportunity to go work for their biggest competitor, GE. And the reason I went there was I had an opportunity to work for three of the best dynamic leaders I've ever met in my entire life. And so that was a really good move. And I was a little nervous doing it. I wasn't sure how many of the healthcare providers would actually follow me to GE, because for 15 years, I told them, you know, Siemens was the best. Sure. But I learned shortly there after getting to GE that if you surround yourself with a great team and you do things the right way, if people like you and trust you, they will follow you. And so I was just grateful that our team was able to, you know, secure a lot of those customers that I brought from Siemens to GE. So,
hey, Scott, you said something, and I don't want to let it get away. You said you had the opportunity to work for three great leaders. What made them so great?
You know, they were just all about the people. They really did a great job of engaging with their teams. They would spend time with you. They were there when the times were tough. They were not only there to ask, you know, where are the orders at or what do you plan to bring in, but they were next to you when things weren't going well or even when things were going well. I thought all three of them cheered us on. They were the three most dynamic leaders I've ever met.
That's great.
Jim Rapp, Charlene Grabowski, and Lee Cooper. They were exceptional.
Excellent. Yeah, I was, you know, we talk a lot about leadership and mentorship on the show, too. And I always like to, you know, if somebody brings up a great leader, I always want to find out what makes somebody a great leader. So thanks for that. Go ahead. Sorry to interrupt again.
Yeah. So then I spent 7 years at GE and then went to a small AI company for 18 months. But for the past 5 years, I had many of the healthcare providers I worked with asked, you know, would you ever be interested in helping us buy this equipment? It's expensive. It's complex. It's dynamic. It's ever changing. There's these real expensive capital expenses that go with it and also these operational expenses. And so little by little, I just started to put a business plan together, worked with the Indiana Small Business Development Center, which has been outstanding, and then hired a couple of legal teams to make sure that, you know, we were going to be fine legally. And we launched the company. My wife and I launched the company 2 months ago, and here we are. So we're off and running. Business is good. So, our goal is to really help healthcare providers understand, configure, negotiate, and select the best medical imaging technology at the best value. And that's both on the product side as well as on the service side. You know, those long-term service agreements
are
really costly to providers. And our focus might not so much be the bigger providers, but how do you help the small community hospital, critical access hospital, or independent that, you know, they might buy an MRI scanner once every 15 years.
Yeah.
How would they ever get good at that so that they at least are able to get a deal that's valuable to them just as much as it is to the vendor?
Yeah. And like you were saying, I mean, these things are expensive. And you go to a smaller hospital that may not be affiliated with a large organization, and that capital comes at a premium. And they are truly giving up something to buy, you know, this equipment. So
you've got it. And once the equipment's installed, unlike maybe anything else in the hospital, it's there permanently. I mean, once you put a 17,000 pound MRI scanner in, you are stuck with that. There is no taking that out because we made a poor decision. So the stakes are high, and so is the investment. And so making that right decision is so important, especially in a world of declining reimbursement and, you know, everything is tightened up on the finances. So this is, I think, an important time to have someone alongside of you that can help you navigate those complicated negotiations and help you, you know, get the best value.
So tell my audience a little bit about, you know, how do you go about that? Say, okay, I'm at XYZ Community Hospital in East Tree Stump, Texas. Okay. And I'm a critical access hospital, but I've got a big catchment area. And hey, you know what? An MRI really does make sense for us right now. So I call up Scott and I say, hey, Scott, you know, I got limited capital dollars. How can you help me?
Oh, that's great. We would love to have that opportunity. Number one. Number two is, you know, I work alongside with the providers. It's not that, you know, everyone's got a full plate. I'm not here to take your plate. Certainly people enjoy the process of shopping and acquiring and buying. And I'm not trying to take away the fun of that. My job is to be in the passenger seat, just guiding us along the way. You know, and there's a number of avenues. You know, you look at this high-end complex technology, you've got the device itself, but you've got these service agreements, you've got the trade-in, you've got the legal aspect that's around 20, 30 pages of terms and conditions, and just making sure that you're navigating all of that to get what you need. We did a survey recently and found that around 30% of providers don't redline any of the terms and conditions. And so those are created by the vendor, which, you know, that's a good starting point, but you have to think about long-term, you know, what's in the best interest for me, because long after the sales professional is gone or the director of radiology has retired, the document and the contract is the living, breathing, you know, agreement. And so making sure that every little piece is tight. I think that providers do a great job. I'm not here to say that they don't do a great job. I think they push all the right levers. I think there's a few more levers that they could consider that I think we can bring to the table to help streamline that.
Well, you're exactly right. You know, I've overseen imaging forever, but I'm by far not an expert in it. And so, you know, I fortunately have some great leaders in my imaging department that, you know, have bought a lot more equipment than I have over the years. But, you know, times change. And terms and conditions change, you know, technology changes and all of that. So, and so as an administrator, I can't keep up with all of that, you know? And so that's why I lean on, you know, and not everybody's blessed like me to have great leadership. I mean, like I said, you know, XYZ Community Hospital in East Tree Stump, you know, their imaging director's probably a kid that grew up in town that, hey, I'm going to be a, you know, I'm going to be a rad tech.
Yeah,
he got promoted because he was it. So you know, you brought up another thing, the service agreement, and boy, I mean, that's one of those things that makes or breaks things, because I know, you know, I've got some folks in my biomed department that really want to try to shy away from certain vendors because of their service or lack thereof.
Yeah.
So tell my folks a little bit about, okay, that service agreement. But give, and I don't want you to give away your secrets by any means, but talk about a couple of pitfalls that you, you know, that, that a hospital might fall into in and around the service agreement.
Yeah, there's no doubt that they always say sales makes the first sale, but the service is the provider that gets you the long-term benefit. You know, you're going to get the second and third and fourth sale because of having really good local service. Mm-hmm. But that is also very dynamic. So you can have that being a well-oiled machine right now for one of the vendors and have a great relationship. But if all of a sudden some of those baby boomers retire or people get burned out and say, I'm going to go work for the hospital instead of working for this vendor, mm-hmm. that can change pretty quickly. You know, one pitfall you ask for pitfalls is, I was always surprised at hospitals that would ask a vendor, how many service engineers do you have in town? And they would give a number, but then they wouldn't drill down to say, what are they trained in? Because if we're buying an MRI scanner and you have 13 engineers in town that fix X-ray and mammo, then really no one's trained to fix your...
Doesn't do you a lot of good on the MRI.
Exactly. So that was one thing.
Okay.
I think certainly the vendors, there's a good amount of profit margin in those agreements. So there's a little bit of meat on the bone there. So there's an opportunity, I think, to be smart in terms of how you negotiate on those agreements.
Sure.
One thing, cybersecurity is a big issue.
Yeah.
I don't know that any hospital is not talking about that and thinking about that. And yet, if you look at some service agreements, you'll notice in the terms and conditions, it says, we can see your data and we can do whatever we want with your data. And so that would be a classic spot where you'd want to be redlining pretty quickly to say, we need to protect ourselves here. And no, you cannot use our data for whatever purposes you have.
Yeah,
so those would be a few of the things we'd be looking at on the service agreements for sure.
Well, I got to be honest with you. Yeah, you know, I'm kind of impressed that that vendor has 13 engineers in East Treestump, Texas. but yeah, I mean that's something. That, you know, I mean we've had some issues with some of our equipment where, you know, the company has had to fly engineers from, you know, overseas.
Sure.
Because you you make the combination of, okay, you've got this product and then, you know, you've got your EMR and you're trying to get everything connected. And then, oh, by the way, here's your PACS system over here that may or may not, you know, talk directly to your, I can't keep up with all that.
Yeah.
So having somebody, you know, come in and advise me. I mean, that's a huge thing. So, well, good. So Scott, you know, new company started 2 months ago, you know, sounds like things are going okay so far, huh?
You know, it's one of those things where you think, I never thought I'd be an entrepreneur, but then I always look back and said, well, I was the kid that had the Kool-Aid stand and, it took a little bit of time to get it going, but eventually the customers show up. So, here we are. And yeah, it's been an amazing experience. I think the best part of it is just the opportunity to connect with so many more healthcare providers like yourself. You know, if you're a sales professional in one part of the world, say Arizona, that was the only folks I got to meet and they were great, but now I get a chance to meet people in 49 more states.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I'm a people person. This is heaven for me. And
your Kool-Aid stands just a little bit bigger.
Yeah. I think the other advantage is, you know, you spend all your life learning things, you know, mm-hmm. and eventually you get to a point you say, boy, I have the opportunity to kind of give some of this back. Yeah. It's not so much about the hunt and the kill anymore as it is about how do I help? You know, my personal story, my great grandparents and grandparents and my parents all grew up on farms in southwestern Wisconsin, very small rural town named Mineral Point, 2000, you know, people live in that town, or maybe it's even less now. That's the type of town where if you get the wrong number, you still talk to the person for about 3 hours. And, you know, there's a community hospital there, which is actually 7 miles east. So there's not even a hospital in that town. And so, you know, I think about why I started this. That was an element of it, is how do you help some of those folks where we really need, you know, healthcare in these rural standalone communities. And so it's close to my heart. I didn't grow up there, but I spent a lot of weekends and holidays there. And so that's still close to my heart. And you know, it kind of fuels me to say, how can we help those folks get just as great of a deal as, let's say, someone in the bigger city?
Yeah, that's very cool. So let's talk, you know, the other aspect, you know, you got all this great equipment, right? You know, you got a great MRI, CT, X-ray. You kind of have to have doctors to read all this, right? You know, and we're in a little bit of a crunch with radiologists right now, aren't we?
Oh, you hit that nail right on the head. And that was another factor in me and my wife developing this company, was to say, you know, how now you've got radiologists that are having to spend non-clinical time on tasks like reading service agreements or going on site visits for this equipment. And the reality is it does age. It needs to be replaced. It needs to be refreshed. It needs to be upgraded. There's a lot to it. These are, you know, these are big decisions, and the weight of those decisions lays on those people. But, you know, ultimately you want clinical people doing great clinical work. And so that's where I come in and say, how can I take just a few things off your plate where I can help manage some of the, you know, some of the back and forth with these vendors, scheduling things and streamlining the process so that they can spend more time on the clinical tasks that are so necessary now, especially in a world of, you know, radiologist shortage and, you know, shortage of technologists and other ancillary staff.
Well, that's true. You know, I talk to my colleagues all around the country, and there is that huge shortage of radiologists. And now, you know, for the most part, they can live anywhere and they can read from home.
Yeah.
You know, and so what kind of new technology, you know, what's the new technology doing for them, you know, to be able to do that? You know, talk a little bit about the advances in the equipment.
Yeah, I think it's obviously the buzzword, but it is true. The AI piece has really played into radiology, probably more so than anywhere else in the hospital. I'm not sure the total number of apps that are in radiology, but there's plenty at the moment. And there's certainly probably 50 vendors that are trying to get their apps in here. That has played out. And the kind of the theory there is that the radiologist that embraces AI is going to be the better radiologist versus the radiologist that doesn't. Doesn't mean that their job's going to go away or that they're going to not have a job someday. Yeah. Just means that they're going to be a little more efficient and be able to get through the stack a little faster by having a helping hand along the side. So I don't think there's any way that you could not say that AI is certainly the buzzword, but it really is the meat of kind of the excitement of what's going on. You know, years ago we had the slice war. So we had these 16 slice CT scanners and these 128 slice scanners and that.
My God.
Thankfully that's ended.
Right.
No,
it was like the slice wars. I mean, my gosh, you know, you'd buy something and, oh, hey, we've got double the slice. And it was like, am I buying bread or what?
Good yeah, exactly. Exactly. I remember one RSNA, the big radiology trade show. Mm-hmm. I don't remember which vendor it was, but one of the vendors had noticed that the other vendor was going to have a 32 slice CT and maybe the other guy was going to have 64. So they literally went under the covers and changed the number and then put the cover back over the next morning, pulled it off, said, okay, we have a 64 slice, even though they hadn't designed it or created it, but they, we got to keep up with the next guy. So thankfully that is over. And I think that, you know, folks, you know, really if you get a 1.5 Tesla MRI scanner or at least a 128 slice or 64 slice CT scanner, you're really doing quite well.
Yeah.
And now it's just about how do you add those AI pieces of software. But that can be complicated too from a purchasing perspective, because now someone's saying, you know, I want to charge you $50,000 a year, but you have to sign up for a 3 to 5 year agreement. Right. And is there any reimbursement that's tied to that? So it might make the radiologist more, you know, more efficient. I'm not sure it has as much impact on the technologist. Maybe in some cases it does, but you know, that's another area where it's like, is there reimbursement for that? And how do you pay for those things? It's just, it seems like there's always a need for these things, but there's costs that are always associated with them.
Absolutely. You know, we're looking at AI software for our two MRIs here. And we've done the analysis and it basically doubles our capacity. So, you know, we continue to grow. I mean, our imaging business line just continues to grow. And by going the AI route, I just prevented myself from having to buy two more MRIs. So, you know, I don't mind spending, you know, $400,000-$600,000 on software if it prevents me from having to spend, you know, what, maybe, you know, $5 to $6 million.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to do it.
Exactly.
And so, you know, that's really exciting. You know, we're, you know, again, back in the scarcity of physicians, you know, anything we can do to make things more efficient, you know, we're going to do. And so that was one of those things that boy, when my guys brought that to me about a year ago, I'm like, yeah, we need to look hard at this. And the ROI on it, it was a no-brainer for us. And yep. So yeah, we definitely.
That is outstanding and exactly the right decision.
Yeah. Even I can make a decision like that. I mean, sorry, I just cut you out of your business there, Scott, but I can figure that out. So in the last few minutes we have, Scott, I mean, what do you want to leave my audience with, in the imaging space, or I don't care. You can even talk Badger basketball if you want.
Well, first I'd say, I think you have so many healthcare providers that watch this podcast, and I think you can't not say thank you. I mean, I still look back at providers that did so much during the pandemic. I had so much respect for them long before the pandemic, and to see how you and your team and others handled that, I still have the utmost respect. I mean, I have to say thank you. I had the luxury of staying home and doing Zoom calls. You and your teams were in.
I couldn't quite zoom into the admin suite. So
yeah. So I always have to go back, and I know it's been years since then, thankfully, but I still go back and say thanks, like a heartfelt thank you to everyone. I don't think we could ever say thank you enough for the folks that were there. I remember a CEO of a hospital telling me I was scared that we were gonna have people dying in our parking lot. Like it was getting to be that intense. So sincere thanks. And I would love to connect with anyone. If anyone's interested in what we have to offer, we're here to help. And so you can
find
us on our website, keyimagingpartners.com, or
there you go.
Find us on LinkedIn at keyimagingpartners.com, or just look me up, Scott Finkelmeyer. We would love to help. The ROI, just like the ROI on the AI, is pretty good for me too. You pay me a small little bit, but I'll do a ton of stuff to really help tweak what you're doing and make it the best deal you can get.
Well, that's great. Well, Scott, you just shot my clothes right there, because I always ask, hey, how can my folks contact you? So thanks for taking part of my job. I guess we're even now. So anyway, well, Scott, it's been a real pleasure. Hey, for your first podcast, you did a heck of a job. Congratulations. I think I may have trained you too well. You'll never come back on I Don't Care. You're going to be on national podcasts now. So. But the invitation stands. Anytime you want to join me on I Don't Care, I'm happy to do that. If you venture off into, hey, I don't know anything else, just let us know. But anyway, Scott, it's been a pleasure. Really enjoyed talking to you today. Audience. Oh, go ahead, Scott. Sorry. I keep interrupting you. I'm so sorry.
No, I just said this has been great. Thank you.
Good. Thanks for that. So Scott Finkelmeyer, the owner of Key Imaging Partners, LLC. I want to put that in there for you. You heard how to get a hold of Scott. Talk to him about purchasing. Hey, just talk to him about imaging. The guy's seen and done everything over 25 plus years. So with that, it's been great having you with me again today on the I Don't Care with Dr. Kevin Stevenson podcast. Thanks for that. Thanks for always tuning in, and I will see you next week. Take care.